certainly an honor to be here this evening and to praise God in the way that we plan to do and we all have done this day. It's a beautiful day that our Lord has created, and I'm just so pleased that all of you are here tonight. You made the choice to come and honor God and worship Him and glorify His name, and for that I am so grateful, because that's our intent here, is to worship Him. My name is Jim Shaw, and I'm a former, I used to worship here at Prairie Village many years ago, but I still feel like it's home, and I try to come back as much as I can. I was here from 1979 to 1985 when we moved out of the area. But I'm just grateful for every opportunity that I have to come back and be with you. Tonight I'm going to speak about a subject that's important, I think, to all of us, and that is a subject about praising God. Some of the ideas that I'm going to talk to you about tonight are not original with me, and I'm actually going to be quoting some from an article that was written by a gentleman who's a freelance writer named Dr. Bill Patterson. He wrote an article about praising God, and some of these ideas are his. And certainly, almost anything that we do in, when we talk about proclaiming the gospel are not necessarily ideas that are created by us, but, and I feel like we ought to give folks credit when we're quoting from or delivering a lesson that may have some references to specific concepts or ideas that are spoken of. My question to you is, do you praise the Lord? I think most of us would answer yes to that question. Can you say with the psalmist, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long"? That was recorded in Psalm 71, verse 8. Praise is something that's very much a part of our lives when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Bible is a book of praise. The 150th Psalm declares, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I think, though, that for fear of being labeled with some of the excesses of some religious folks, some of us have neglected praise. Not intentionally, but we don't want to be labeled with those who sometimes seem to go to extremes on that. I hope, though, we haven't forgotten that the Bible tells us that God is forever praised. The Apostle Paul brought that concept to us out of Romans chapter 1, verse 25. David declares in Psalm 145, verse 21, "Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever." You see, praise belongs to the realm of the eternal. Psalm chapter 72, verse 19 declares that praise be to His glorious name forever. When we praise God, what are we doing? Well, we're in a sense joining in the work of the angels and joining in on our future work in heaven. When we look at the last book of Scripture, the book of Revelation, in chapters 4 and 5, we see God revealed on His throne. And what's occurring there is that abundant praise is rising all around Him. A similar glimpse of heaven is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, where Isaiah saw the seraphs continually calling out the holiness of God and declaring the whole earth to be full of His glory. Praise is, in fact, realizing God is on His throne of the universe that He created. God rules. God reigns. And we, when we recognize Him for who He is, we cannot help but praise Him. That honors God. That reverences God when we do that. Well, what do we mean by praise and what is its purpose? Praise is the love and adoration that we have of God. When we see God as He is, we can't help but praise Him. We will praise Him as we ought to do. Praise then involves private or public confession that God is God. Psalm 48 verse 1 says it this way, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." The purpose of the universe is praise. God created all of this. Praise is a law, if you will, that is written into the world. Everything was created by our God in heaven to offer up praise to Him. What a beautiful psalm Psalm 148 is. Psalm 148 says the angels, the heavenly hosts, the sun, the moon, and the stars were formed to praise the Lord. The psalmist goes on to say that the earth, along with every creature and thing in it, is to praise the name of the Lord. And not only heaven above and the earth beneath, but those of us who are dedicated to the Lord also are to praise God. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, God said that He created human beings for Himself, that they may proclaim My praise, He says. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14, that Christians were saved for the praise of His glory. And given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance to the praise of His glory. Our praise to God may be prayed or spoken, but it may also be sung, according to James chapter 5, verse 13, and also again in Psalm 147, verse 1. The Psalms, the hymn book of the Jewish people, have more words of praise than any other book of the Bible. Modern praise songs also reflect the deep desire within to praise the Lord and to fulfill the admonition to sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. Psalms 149:1. There are several different categories of praise that are recorded in Scripture. Our adoration may be vocal, audible, or visible. Some of the many examples of vocal praise in Psalms include Psalm 63 and verses 3 and 4, which David declares, "My lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live." And My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 21. Praise may be audible without being vocal, particularly in the Psalms of the Old Testament. We see this occurring. When it comes to our New Testament praise, the Scripture is silent concerning the praise of the Father on instruments. But in the Old Testament, it's clearly defined in Psalm 150, verses 3 through 5. And it tells us to praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. And in the Psalms as well, and in other places, praise may be visible, but not audible. One of the words connected with praise in the Old Testament is the word hava, H-A-V-A-H. That is a Hebrew word, and it is used more than 60 times throughout the Old Testament and refers to kneeling in the process of worship. The act of bending the knees to pray offers praise to God. Another form of visible praise is lifting your hands. Psalm 63 again, verse 3, says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Some mistake the passages in the Bible about lifting hands to mean that hands are always to be lifted straight up toward heaven. Psalm 28:2 refers to lifting hands toward your most holy place. You see, there are ancient drawings in which God's people raised their hands in prayer or in praise, and other drawings that suggest that the hands are lifted some suggest that the hands are lifted straight up toward heaven. Other pictures depict the outstretched hands, such as Jesus' hands when they were on the cross. I think the hands pointed heavenward indicate the glory to God, and the others perhaps might indicate submission to God, the hands held straight out. But both are visible forms of praise. And I think in the epistle to Timothy, Paul talked about lifting holy hands for praise. What will praise do for us? Well, praise will bless us and will bless God. One of the more important words of praise is the Hebrew word barach, B-A-R-A-K. Many versions translate the word bless, but others, such as the New International Version, translate that as praise. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 10, David praised the Lord before the congregation. Public praise by spiritual leaders is not only acceptable, but also assumed in Scripture. In Psalm chapter 103, David declares, praise or bless the Lord, O my soul. God is blessed through praise, and it blesses us to exalt Him. You know what praise will do? Praise of God will take us into God's presence. Psalm 100 verse 4 tells us to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Those who loved God, who were Israelites, would have entered the temple in order to worship And they were instructed to enter with praise. At or near the beginning of our personal and public worship times, if we speak or sing the praise to the Lord, we are ushered into His presence. Why not make it a practice to quote Psalm 100, verse 4, each day as you begin your own personal time of devotion and quiet time with the Lord? Praise will help us and will concentrate our thoughts on our God. Also, praise will deliver us from despair. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, a messianic prophecy too about Christ, gives a summary of the ministry of the Lord. He declares His mission was to preach the good news to the poor and to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Despair and praise are totally diametrically opposed to each other and are incompatible. Let me suggest to you that the next time you feel down, disheartened, alone, fearful, just reflect on your salvation and the price that Jesus Christ paid for it on Calvary's cross, and the many blessings that God has shown to you. Thank God for each one of those blessings. Praise Him for His goodness to you and from delivering you from the power of Satan and bringing you in, translating you into the Son of His love, as Paul speaks of in Colossians 1:13. Envision yourself putting on a cloak of praise. A garment of praise will deliver you from discouragement and from the spirit of despair. What else will praise do for us? It turns us Godward. Praise will make us God-centered. The Apostle Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into stocks in the jail at Philippi in Acts 16. There they prayed and sang hymns to God, Acts 16:25. God did some miraculous things as a result of their prayers and their calling to Him, including saving the jailer and his whole family. When Paul and Silas prayed, God delivered them. When Paul and Silas were praising God, what happened? It took their minds off of their problems, their hardships, their woes and troubles, and set their thoughts on higher things, set their thoughts on God. That's what praise does in our lives. It turns us from self to God. It can turn us from selfishness to selflessness. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is a prime example in the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah stood before the Lord confessing their powerlessness to face the huge armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Munites. The people of Judah couldn't win, and they knew it. So what did they do? They turned to the Lord in prayer. They confessed their helplessness and certain defeat unless God intervened. God answered that the battle was His. He would fight it, and they were not to be afraid. You know, God fights our battles too. And if we have the faith of Jehoshaphat and his armies. If we have that faith, God fights our battles for us too. Despite overwhelming odds, we can win with God's help. They believed God, as we should. In all of our faith matters, in all of those issues where we're fearful, doubting, downtrodden, distressed, overwhelmed. What happened in the battle was that they simply marched out to battle, led by singers who did what? Praised God for the splendor of His holiness. There was never before or since a battle like it. God's people didn't have to do anything but praise Him. He caused the armies of the other nations to fight one another. You know what true praise will do? It will turn a person, a group of people, or a nation from sin and selfishness to God and to selflessness. Did you know that Jesus asks us to pick up our cross, deny self, and follow Him? Do we do that? Do we really renounce selfishness, envy, greed, jealousy? Or do we keep them sort of hidden away and manifest them when we choose to do so? Not if we're walking by the Spirit, we don't. And that's what we're called to do. A few more things and then we'll close the lesson. Just want to give you some of the biblical words that mean praise in both the Old and New Testaments. Let's start with the Old Testament. There's a word in the Old Testament, Hebrew, halal, H-A-L-L-A-L. He is used more than 100 times in the Hebrew Masoretic text. And it is the most common of more than 40 words related to praise in the Old Testament. The word halal means to celebrate, to boast, or to extol. And certainly when we praise God, we do those things, don't we? We celebrate Him. We celebrate the universe that He created. We celebrate the fact that He has created us in His image, that He's created us to love Him and to serve Him, and that He's created us to know the joy of being in Christ, to know the joy of having our sins washed away and being pure and clean by the blood of Christ. 24 times the word halal is used with the name of God, and from the combination of that we get the word hallelujah. Psalm 113 verse 3 declares, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Another Hebrew word that's used often in the Old Testament is the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And certainly I do not know Hebrew nor Greek, so please, if I have butchered these pronunciations, please be forgiving and kind toward me, because I don't know the right pronunciation for these words. But the word yada is the second most used word behind halal in the Old Testament for praise. It means to throw out the hands or to worship with extended hands. And again, we go back to Psalm 63:4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. The word we've already mentioned, the word barak, B-A-R-A-K, is also used in the Old Testament, means to kneel or to bless. An example of Barach is in Job chapter 1, verse 21, where it says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In the New Testament, there are more than 25 words related to the word praise in the New Testament. One of the most common is the Greek word aineo, A-I-N-E-O, and words that come from it are the most common. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, aineo, A-I-N-E-O, is the word used to translate halal, the Hebrew, and yada, also Hebrew. Hebrews 13:15 is an example of where this verb is, where this is used. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." Another of the Greek words used in the New Testament, the word doxa, D-O-X-A, and its verb form are also common and are sometimes translated as glory and other times translated praise. Our word doxology, D-O-X-O-L-O-G-Y, which is usually defined as a hymn of praise, our word doxology comes from this word. One example of this is found in Matthew 5, verse 16, where Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Another Greek word that is used is the word eulogetos, probably where we might get our word eulogy from, maybe? I don't know. Not sure about the etymology of that, but anyway. Eulogetos means blessed or praised, and is a word only used of God. One example is in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, where it says, "Praise be to the God," or "Praise be to our Father, to our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Just a rundown of some of the words that are used to define praise in the Bible. In closing, if you've never accepted the love of God in your life, if you've never accepted the gospel and obeyed it from the heart, then you can't have a very effective praise life, because you don't know of those wonderful blessings that are for those that are in Christ Jesus. And how could you praise the name of God when you don't know about that? If you have tasted that gift and if you've obeyed the gospel from the heart, you know full well how exciting it is to be a part of that, and how exciting it is that your life has been transformed forever. When I visited with Don today, we talked about a lot of things, including some very sad things that occurred in Vietnam when he was in service. But Don is an example of someone whose life was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it would. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power that God uses to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Simply stated, the gospel is the dynamite, the power that God uses to change our lives. from what we were formerly to what we are now. And we can't help but shout that praise. Don may not be one that could shout it from the rooftops right now, but he quietly proclaims and praises the God of heaven and praises Jesus Christ as being Lord and Master of his life, King of kings and Lord of lords. If you never obeyed the gospel, this night we offer you that opportunity so that you can understand what it means to praise God from the heart, as those in Acts did when they obeyed the gospel, when they were praising God and having favor with all the people. We can't help but proclaim the blessings that Christ has in store for us. Not only for now, not only, as Louis spoke of this morning, the abundant life that we now have, that Christ came to give us, but he also gave us a life, a promise of a life of eternal bliss, where we will praise God with the angels for eternity. What a wonderful hope. What a marvelous thing to miss, to avail yourself up of. And what a sad thing to miss if you choose not to obey. We're told that without faith it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Scripture also tells us we must repent, because without repentance, we will perish and will die in our sins. We'll also perish and die without hope if we don't confess that Christ is the Son of the living God and do not submit to His will. Furthermore, Scripture tells us that we must be baptized in order to wash away our sins, rising from that grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, become new creatures, creatures that no longer praise sin and glorify it, but new creatures that praise God and honor God and glorify God and reverence Him for who He is, the Creator of us and our universe. Our position changes at baptism and we become enslaved to a new master. A master that is kind and loving and compassionate and gave his life for us. Not to the mastery of sin and Satan as we were before. Transformed lives. Every one of us have stories and I'd love to hear all of them. But that's what the gospel did for us. It helped us to see that we die to sin and we walk and live according to God when we rise from that grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And what about someone here that maybe obeyed and understood the gospel and then and praised God at one time and then walked away from it? And stopped praising God, started cursing, or started doing things that were not proper for one who professed to be godly. You need to ask for repentance and come home this very day. If in any way you are subject to God's invitation, please don't let this moment in time pass you by. Obey from the heart those things that you know to be true. And start praising God and walking in new life. As we stand and sing our hymn, 196.